This week on Bad Takes in Boston, Watson may be the worst QB ever. The boys are pretty happy with their teams. Diego Pavia is the truth and more. Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. We just wanted to start the day off. We just got the news here coming in at 10:05 a.m. Tuesday morning. Robert Saleh out in New York. I don't think anyone expected him to be there for a long time. I don't think anyone expected him to be the future in New York. But goodness gracious, for a team that was talking about the Super Bowl early in the year, Tomas, to have their coach out by week five, this is some bad territory. This is Ben McAdoo didn't get fired that early. Josh McDaniels didn't get fired this early. That's pretty nuts.
Well, let's think of it this way. Woody Johnson's never fired any Jets head coach in the middle of the season. And we're talking about guys like Rex Ryan and Adam Gase. I mean, Adam Gase made it through the whole year. At this point, I feel like the Jets understand that they're underperforming. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing with Saleh was he needs a quarterback. Zach Wilson's not it. Once you get a good quarterback, this defense is good. They're going to take off. But everything I've seen out of the Jets so far this year, they're an undisciplined team.
Yeah.
A lot of penalties. And I understand everyone wants to blame Rodgers, but realistically, the little things, they don't do the little things right. And when you have Alan Lazard as your wide receiver too, and the offense is bad. Breece Hall, don't even get me started on him. He is arguably one of the worst running backs. If you want to look at like advanced stats, advanced metrics, we're talking about fall-offs from when Trent Richardson won Rookie of the Year to the following year. I mean, this guy has been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I think their offense is the problem. Saleh, I don't understand because he is a defensive guy. Your defense is great. But I mean, why is Hackett still there? Is it just because he's buddies with Rodgers? Maybe.
Well, that's the thing is that I go back and forth on who I necessarily want to blame on this. And we'll move on soon because, goodness gracious, the Jets are kind of boring as well as they're frustrating to talk about. But the fact that, yes, I think Robert Saleh is a great coordinator. I think the problem is when you get a great mind at either offense or defense, they need to and then elevate them to head coach. What people don't often understand is that the hiring process and the personality process is something you need to manage among a team. A good NFL head coach is a good command of everyone around him. He knows how to make good hires, and he also knows how to, like, you know, corral the personalities around him. And it feels as though Robert Saleh just simply can never do that. His hires were always dictated off making Aaron Rodgers happy. Nathaniel Hackett was just chosen because Aaron Rodgers enjoys being around him and he'll not tell him what to do. Shout out Mr. Ray Stewart for giving me that opinion this weekend. Go Dips. I genuinely think that it's a sad state of affairs. I hope he's a good and successful DC, and maybe this will be a good maturing process for his coaching career. But yeah, the time he will have as a Jets coach will ultimately be a failure. Stepping in now, we got Jeff Ulbrich. Ulbrich, I believe is how you pronounce it. Seems like, you know, like he's been a Jets guy for a long time, been the DC there for the past 4 years, 2021. That's pretty unheard of in today's NFL.
He went to Hawaii?
University of?
Hawaii, yeah.
You know, I think
he was a linebacker.
He might have played with Timmy Chang.
I don't know who that is, but he had a 10-year playing career. He was with San Francisco. So he's been doing this football thing for a long time. He's only 47.
Yeah, no, he looks young. I guess they're kind of going, you know what? Like, watch out now, because with obviously people didn't dislike Saleh.
Oh my gosh. This is so bad. You know
why? What?
Because you know who the Jets play this week?
Who?
The Bills.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be tough for Our
friend of the show, Mark Stachowski.
Yeah, he's a big Bills fan. Alex Fowler as well.
Yeah, Fernando, bro.
If Fernando's listening, I mean, realistically, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Now, I believe that's a Monday night game. I think the Jets are home. I could be wrong, but now we're in for something because you know what? I think Aaron Rodgers had to have had something to do with this because going back to that Patriots game on, what was it, a Thursday night where Saleh tried to hug him. Yeah. He was like, get off of me. What are you doing?
I'm pretty comfortable saying it's Jets money line right now.
Really?
I'm pretty comfortable saying post-coach firing game, like Antonio Pierce levels of like Rich Bisaccia levels. Like people rally around these dudes. People take them seriously unless they're the Giants and like Freddie Kitchens, but that's besides the point. Anyway, we got a great show for you guys. Don't worry. It's not all Jets talk. Sorry, JT, but we need to get that off our chest because that just blew across our feeds right now. Here's the rest of the show.
Let's get real. We should stay on the topic of coaches. We're going to talk about the coaching carousel anyway, because I think there's a lot of guys on the hot seat.
Good
So
heavens.
let's play a little hot and cold action. I think for me, Dennis Allen, I think, is on the hot seat just because, listen, the Saints looked real good 2 games out, but I told you they were bad. And Derek Carr got hurt in on Monday night against the Chiefs. If he's out for a considerable amount of time, come on.
I can't disagree with you at all here. Like, we all know he's a good DC. We all know he could coach good defense. Granted, they didn't look good against the Chiefs, which, like, is both weird and not, because, like, when you say, like, oh, like, people will be like, oh, it was Patrick Mahomes, it's the Chiefs offense, Andy Reid's calling these plays. Like, it's an understanding that it's supposed to be blowouts, but realistically, they just don't perform the way they used to. And they had one touchdown taken away by a crazy drop where Taylor Swift's backup dancer's brother made it all the way back on the other side of the field. Like, I think, like, realistically, they got their butts paddled, essentially, and there's no reason to even defend Dennis Allen at this point, because, like, what can he provide? Their offense is ridiculous. Their offense is ridiculous. Like, why would you build a team around a mediocre O-line with a bunch of, like, I would say, like, up and down levels of draft picks are, like, Cesar Ruiz is a good player, but then you get Trevor Penning, whose only claim to fame is that he held people and was, like, way too physical and, like, wasn't refined at all in college. And then build a team with an older Derek Carr, who's on more guaranteed money right now than Daniel Jones in the contract, and just bombing it every other play to Rashid Shaheed, a player who generally, maybe I'm pleading ignorance here, but, like, I wasn't on my radar until, like, a couple weeks ago. I had never heard of this dude. Maybe it's because I don't know
I
ball,
mean,
but,
Chris
like,
Olave only had one catch in the first half, and it was 4 yards. One catch for 4 yards. Also, to talk about their upcoming games, they play the Bucs. The Bucs, let's get real. I don't know how they lost to the Falcons last week. I expect them coming out and winning this game. I really do. I think the Bucs are a really good football team. Then they play the Broncos, and you know what? All right, Bo Nix. Him and Sean Payton seem to have this little weird love-hate
I was gonna
relationship,
say,
and you know what? Maybe something's cooking there. Maybe something's cooking there.
well,
So
hold on,
I
hold
would.
on. Can we go back right now? I was right.
I'm not talking. We're not.
I was
No.
right.
No. No.
I was
Because
right about the
no,
Broncos.
we're not
John
getting.
Franklin Myers is the truth.
Anyway, they play the Broncos. They could lose that game. Then
Totally.
they play the Chargers. I don't see them beating the Chargers.
Not at all.
And the Panthers. They probably may beat the Panthers, but
That might
then
be a fun one.
that could be a fun one. And then they play the Falcons. Like, I look at their next 5 games, and I see them winning one game.
Here's
And if
some.
they're and that's the case, they're what? They're two and where are they right now? 2-3? Are they 2-3 right now? Yeah, they're 2-3. And if they only won one, yeah, bro. Yeah. What are we talking about? They're gonna be like 3-6 or 3-7, actually. I don't.
They're gonna be really bad. It's actually insane how good they looked, how bad your defense
And
looked.
after that, I mean, let's get real. To finish out the rest of the season, they got games against the Rams, the Giants, the Commanders, the Packers, and the Bucks again. Those are
They'll win a
five.
couple of those. They'll win a couple of those. I don't think we're beating them. I don't think the Giants are going to beat them,
Well,
realistically.
we're not going to talk about the Giants right
Well,
now.
can
But all
I?
I'm saying is, I think Dennis Allen, he might be up next. You
Well,
know what
I
I mean?
got
I
I.
who do you think? I
I got
mean,
a guy, and maybe he won't get fired, but I just need to talk about him because I'm upset with him. I'm pressed about this guy because I like him a ton, and that's Mike McDaniel. I don't think people are talking enough about how much this is all kind of his fault.
how?
Realistically, as much as I like him, because I think what he's doing in terms of his scheming is clearly fantastic. Their use of motions just destroys teams. People talk about them just being a Tyreek Hill bomb team, but, like, when they have a good running game, as we've seen, they can be incredibly explosive in that field, which just makes it impossible to stop them. But realistically, like, they have a guy in Tua, like, going into this year, and they see that, okay, he led the league in passing yards. He was really good with Tyreek Hill. He was really good with Jalen Waddle. He's got these good weapons. But there's a little bit of rumblings, and you could definitely see it in the film because they're definitely watching it all the time, that maybe someone else would fill that spot a little better. And that Tua might be, while a great, like, personality and a great guy, he might not just have the arm talent to really make that Ferrari drive as fast as it can. You know? Shout out Tyreek Hill. Like, the genuine and paired with the fact that this guy is clearly very much injured and clearly has an injury history. where he gets hurt a lot, whether it's his head, whether it's is like he had that other injury at one point when
Isn't
he
it
was
his
at, yeah,
hamstring or
hamstring, yeah.
something? I don't know.
I don't know why you wouldn't invest in a backup or at least make moves. You know, teams like the
Yeah,
Titans.
but hear me out. Like who? It's not like Joe Flacco is gonna run that offense.
Get Tyrod Taylor. Get Tyrod Taylor. Get Mason Rudolph.
Why would you want
Get Joe
Mason
Flacco.
Rudolph? Joe Flacco can't run that offense.
What I'm saying is any of those guys would be significantly better than what they have going on right now. And the fact that he couldn't perceive that this might happen is a failure on him.
Why do you think it's a McDaniel issue and not the front office?
I don't think they're
They're also
disconnected from
not
each
gonna.
other.
Also, too, they're not gonna fire Mike McDaniel. You know that, right?
I know, I know, I said that at the beginning of this. They're not going to fire
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel, but genuinely, they're the worst team in the NFL right now. They look like it.
No, I
I
think the
know.
Browns are the worst team in the NFL, and we'll get into that later, but
No one can be no one can win a game with their roster that's going on. Like genuinely, they are a failure on all levels of the game. I can't see. I know they won this week. I know they won,
barely,
but they barely
barely.
beat the Patriots, who, and we're not even getting the best of the Patriots right now. Like, there's clearly something they're kind of like holding back,
I think if
and because
Drake
they
Bay
want
was
it.
playing, they might have maybe 3 wins. They could have 3 wins. Think about it. They were close in a lot of games, and the only reason they lose is because Jacoby Brissett literally can't throw for more than 150
And
yards.
that's my point, and we can move on after this. But the Colts identified that Anthony Richardson gets hurt to get Joe Flacco. The Giants last year identified that Daniel Jones gets hurt, so they get Tyrod Taylor. Jets do the same thing, they get a backup. All these teams build their QB rooms when they're not certain on their guy. And it's not even to not be certain in Tua's play, although there are many people, including both of us, that could say that maybe there's some situation, there's some scenarios where like he held them back. But his health is such a question at this point that you can't stop and be like, oh, who could have seen this coming?
I bet they get Bryce Young.
Maybe. Maybe. And granted, it's always like, who
I'm
is it?
sorry if I like in my head, I really didn't want to get into this, but all I'm gonna say is I think for like the Bryce Young people out there who want to think of what's gonna happen next year, I think they're gonna trade him, and I think there's only two logical places for him to go, and that's one, Miami, two, LA with Sean McVay. I think those are the two only offensive minds that if you put him in an offense, he would make it run.
Well, if Sam Darnold gets like a big boy job next year, do you think
No.
maybe he could be JJ McCarthy's backup in
No, they
Minnesota?
wouldn't do that because they're so young. That if JJ plays bad, give Bryce Young a chance. He was the first overall pick. You're just creating quarterback controversy for no reason.
I don't know. I think like they gotta make the choice on one or the other soon. And I think people are comfortable being like, all right, we'll eat a first round draft pick if like we have someone available. Like think the Niners, you know?
Yeah, I see what you're
But
saying.
okay. All right,
Yeah.
all right.
Anyway.
We got some other jokers to talk about.
Who else were we talking about that should be on the hot seat as well?
Antonio Pierce, goodness
Oh,
gracious, I'm
yeah.
very upset with him.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be a way better signing personally. Oh, also, Sean McDermott. Those are.
No, I disagree on this totally. I was talking to Mark about this. I'm not. I don't care.
What are
I
you
think you're.
talking about? He single-handedly managed that game so poorly against the Texans. That's why they lost.
Yeah, I understand
Who
that.
throws the ball 3 straight plays with 20 seconds left? When, think about it, you were down by 17 at one point and somehow came back. Just go to overtime. Just go to overtime. You basically shut them out pretty much in the second half. You turned you made you forced first forced turnovers. Your offense finally clicked. And who cares? You weren't meant to be in the game and you were, and you just single-handedly gave it to him. Also, too, it's not like Tyler Bass is gonna drill a 63-yarder. What are we doing?
Realistically, they had a ton of drops. A ridiculous, absurd amount of drops in that game. You can't put that on the head coach. The head coach is teaching them how to catch the ball. You know, that's just a lack of performance. And regardless, Sean McDermott didn't go 9 for 30. Josh Allen did. And if you want to blame that on the drops, that's one thing. But realistically, I think this is an outlier. Because I still think they're gonna go like 10-6 and like be disgusting in the playoffs. And if they blow it entirely, because their defense isn't good, which clearly it doesn't look like it is at all. Although they did kind of hang in this a little bit, which was weird. One of
Yeah.
those weeks, I guess. But they, you, I need to see more for it to even be a hot seat. Let's call it a heating up seat. Right now, we turn the stove top to like 2 on him. But like Antonio Pierce beefing with their best player, second best player behind Max Crosby on Instagram is insane to me. That is so impulsive and so immature. And frankly, I love Antonio Pierce. I think he's cool. I like that he's Giants linebacker, won a Super Bowl with us. Seems like a cool guy. Seems like a good leader of men
I don't know, dude.
generally.
I heard that
But
stuff that happened with him at Arizona State, and I was like, nah, this guy might suck.
yeah, what did he took to,
He
so remind us.
was basically taking recruits' dads to strip clubs in Arizona, like in Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah,
And so,
that's not wholesome.
yeah, he
That's
was
not.
basically just like communicating with people during COVID when that just wasn't allowed, and like going and visiting
I
people
mean, I bet
in his
some.
break. I know a lot of people are probably doing that, but come on, man. Like, you can't be doing that. And then all that came out. And then also, too, he was like, he had filed for like bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's just stuff going on that we don't know about.
It's very clear that, like, their success with him came from a post Josh McDaniels firing rally around the flag type deal, where they're like, we're going to buy into this guy. We love it. Like, right now, we're going to, like, Max Crosby's going to run the defense. And we're going to be just physical and hard. And we're going to figure it out on offense with who was their quarterback last year? Aiden O'Connell. You know, like, it's to me.
I just don't know how their offense isn't just a little bit better, personally.
I personally feel awful for Patrick Graham. I don't know how familiar you are with him, but he was Giants DC for a long time during the Joe Judge years. And our defense was pretty good back then. And he just didn't win anything because our offense was terrible, coached by Jason Garrett. And now he's the Raiders DC. And he has no talent to work with besides Max Crosby. And he's still doing like the best he can with what's available to him. But he's just gotten nothing so far from the GM in terms of like setting these dudes up for success. I mean the Raiders fans are over. They're over this season. They need to get a new guy. They need to get someone else in there. Antonio Pierce, I think, is going to be realistically the next coach fired.
Really,
I think
I
so.
think it's going to be Dennis Allen. But no, honestly, I could see Alec Pierce. I could also potentially see Kevin Stefanski. I think that's a good segue to talk about the Browns.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? This is what I
Yeah.
want to say about this. I think Deshaun Watson definitely is a big part of this problem. But this is more of an ego thing when it comes within the organization. Because think about
Yeah.
it. Last year, Deshaun Watson, for somehow, I think they're what, 3-1 or 4-1, and he goes down. They bring in Joe Flacco off the couch, and they have like the 10th best offense in the league, and they go all the way to the playoffs, and you're going, oh my gosh, this is a fun team. David Njoku was just running people over, catching 8 passes, 100 yards a game. Amari Cooper was going off. They were able to
Yeah.
run the ball. They were a good football team, right? But they bring Deshaun Watson back in and they let Joe Flacco walk because they understood there was a rift in there that I think the players liked Flacco. I think he ran Stefanski's offense better, and Stefanski had to change his offense back to the whatever it was with Watson, and it sucks and they can't move the ball. It's incompetence all over because the Browns don't want to just say, "Hey, we messed up. We got the wrong guy and ate the money." If they would have done that at the start of this year and said, you know what? Why not just run Flacco out there again? If he sucks. We get a good quarterback this year, but we know Watson's not the answer. Who's making the decisions? Because I don't think it's Stefanski. I don't think after watching him play against the Commanders, you could sit there and say, he's our quarterback going forward. He played like ass.
To me, it's insane because, like, the way people talk about money in the NFL, they talk about it in terms of the fact that, like, how much these teams have to, like, eat, so to speak. And in terms, and that they make it sound like that's a cost that in any way is going to be passed on to the fan, as opposed to just, like, you know, harming the bottom line of the team. And to me, it bothers me because you either think you're going to win a Super Bowl now, like, right now. Or you're thinking, all right, we got to reload and figure out our options here. And to me, I don't understand after seeing the product that Deshaun Watson had on the field and off the field, granted, how you could even sign this guy. But we're going to move past that because that's just too much of a rabbit hole to go down. I don't know how you could see his continuing play on the field and not just think this isn't going to get better. Like the sunken cost they're claiming to like, be that they're claiming is the reason to continuously play them makes no sense if you're considering it. You're already one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like, this team needs an entire roster reload from top to bottom outside of Myles Garrett, a potentially healthy Nick Chubb, and maybe David Njoku if he's willing to not take a ton of money away. But everyone else kind of has to get out of there because they're failing at a pretty serious level. Maybe Denzel Ward. But the O-line needs to get completely built back from nothing.
That's
Like,
easily, I think, the worst offensive line in football.
by far. By far. There's a reason why, we'll talk about this later, the Giants lead the league in sacks. It's not because Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns are playing lights out. It's because the Browns O-line specifically can't handle blitzes from like the secondary. And which is just like an insane thing because all you have to do is get in front of a 200-pound safety who you've seen running for 3 seconds at that point. Like, it's
Come back to the Watson thing. I got some stats for you.
yeah.
He in his last 17 games, in his last 17 games, which would be a full season, thinking about he got hurt last year, whatever. 60% passing percentage, less than 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3 rush touchdowns, and a 79.5 QBR. Now listen to this. Out of 386 quarterbacks to record at least 175 passes in their first 5 games of a season, Watson ranks last in yards per attempt at 4.8, according to ESPN. This is an ESPN stat for you, but I thought that was
Yeah.
insane. And Watson's 21 total QBR this season is the worst of all qualified passers, and his 20.7% off target rate is third worst in the league. This dude can't throw the football at all.
He also leads the league in being a major scumbag.
Easily one of the worst people ever.
Yes. It's embarrassing. If you gotta think about it, those stats are all time. They're all time woke status. Like, especially, and what I feel like is often lost on us in this Deshaun Watson conversation is just how good he was. Just how on the
He
up and
was.
up
He
the
was.
Texans organization seemed to be to get this guy, who at that point had no issues with anyone ever, was only known as a great dude. Dabo when he was working
He won.
overtime to
I mean,
say positive things about him.
he won a national championship.
I had him as my fantasy quarterback that year he broke out, and it was insane. He got me insane amounts of points. It was like 30 every week. He saved my awful team. The man needs to go. And the Browns are simply just like refusing to, like, you know, it's like when someone gets stabbed and they're like, all right, like, I don't know where I was going with that because I thought you have to take the knife out in order to like care for the wound, but then I realized that doesn't make sense because you have to keep the blade in. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know how to treat stab wounds. But basically, just get rid of him. He's bad.
No, I think he needs to go. I mean, they owe him $92 million. I think Stefanski doubling down on him to be their quarterback is telling me someone above him is saying, "Hey, we're just gonna ride this out." Maybe
Yeah.
they want to lose. There's a part of me that thinks maybe they're really just trying to be the worst team in the league so they get a good draft pick. Like, why not at this point? Honestly, they only have one win. It was the Jags, and they shouldn't even have beat them.
Andrew Berry, you might be a
He's gonna be
goofball.
gone.
You
He's gonna be
you
gone.
might be a goofball. That's all we could say.
Well, let's talk about the Giants because I know you've been waiting for this one. So funny enough, this week actually, I believed in the Giants,
I didn't.
and sure enough, they won. So Jack is now back on his high horse, feeling high and mighty. Take it away.
Daniel Jones, fourth in the NFL. Completion percentage over expected. Just pure accuracy. That, and he's in a crew right now with CJ Stroud. Goodness gracious, who's also in there? Sam Darnold and one
Yeah.
other guy whose name escapes me. He's playing his best football I've ever seen. Ever seen. He hasn't
Daniel
turned the ball
Jones,
over.
he
He hasn't
hasn't.
turned the ball over. It's actually insane. We have dudes who are currently who we thought of as either busts or either like trade pieces that we could use to rebuild our team, playing like at the level I expected them to play at with better quarterbacks and better teams. This is the level I thought Darius Slayton would play at if he went to the Chiefs. And he's doing it right now against a good Seahawks team. We lead the league in the NFL, we lead the league in sacks. I already said this. And it's slightly inflated by this game, which, goodness gracious, the Seahawks O-line looked awful this game. And the Browns game. But the Seahawks O-line isn't awful. The tackle play isn't awful. Charles Cross is not a bad player. We just got home as many times as we could. We got coming out parties from Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns, and Dexter Lawrence had 3 sacks. Like that, Micah McFadden had a sack and a half. I think another dude had a half sack. Like this can't be like. It shocks me just how much these people like just decided to suddenly start playing. It's shocking to me, and
What about
it
Tyrone
makes me.
Tracy? I want to hear your opinion on that because I
Oh,
want to
I
say this. Stop, stop,
yeah,
stop. Before you go, I want to say this. I'm in a dynasty fantasy
yeah.
football league, and before the season started, I said, "Hey, Jack, is there any, deep cut Giants players that you think might turn out to be really good?" And he
Yeah.
said, "Tomas Tyrone Tracy Jr." And I said, "Sell me on him." And he went right down the list, and I was like, "You know what? Why not?" Why not? He saw the potential. He was like, listen, Singletary might get hurt. He might be bad. You didn't believe in Eric Gray. You're like, listen, he's the RB3 and he runs physical. You liked him. He's quick. And I was like, all right, why not? And guess what? 18 carries, 129 yards, 7.2 yards per carry against Seattle, which we were talking about the first couple weeks of the season as a good defense.
Yeah.
How about it? I mean, I'm giving Jack his props right now. That's pretty much the point of this, but you caught it, man. You caught it.
Thank you,
You caught it.
Tomas. Tyrone Tracy is something I haven't wanted to mention on this pod because I had no real reason outside of my own scouting ability with this guy, but he led Division One last year in yards after contact, all of Division One. He was a former Iowa wide receiver, transfers to Purdue, played wide receiver. They were like, "You're too short. You're 5'8". Play running back." He was a little older and he didn't exactly know how to play running back, but the man could just get under his pads, run really fast, and go right through people. And I saw that that worked out, could work out in the NFL. Christian Okoye was playing running back with them just pointing in the direction. I think Tyrone Tracy, with his ability to just run through people, can develop an ability to get like some good like running back vision. I love this O-line. This O-line looks great. We didn't let up a sack. Jermaine Illuminor went from being a guy who we were talking about as maybe playing left guard after being an okay player for the Raiders and is now looking like our franchise right tackle. Like he has played fantastically. Actually, no, we did let up a sack, but that was because Daniel Jones tripped on Andrew Thomas's leg when he was going out, because of course. And it just shocks me, man. It just shocks me. I don't, and here's another little side thing. I think clearly Brian Daboll made mistakes, but he is the guy for the job. He is the guy for the job.
Jeez, you were
No,
just
no.
talking about getting him fired like 2 weeks ago.
I
You know
understand that.
what's
I
funny?
understand that.
Hold
No,
up.
yeah, but no, please, tell me.
Listen, this is another set of peak delusionalness
Former coach of the year.
by Giants and as well as a Yankee fan. Because listen to this. The Giants are 2-3. The next four games are against the Bengals, the Eagles, the Steelers, and the Commanders. What do you think the record's gonna be after that? Because there's a world where they lose all four of those games and they're 2-7.
Yeah, but we don't live in that world. We live in the world where they're going 2-2 in those games. Realistically,
That
they're beating the Bengals.
they're not gonna be the
They're
Bengals.
beating the. I don't
They're not
know
gonna
how
be the
you could
Bengals.
say that
They're not
after
gonna be
what
the
you've
Bengals.
watched from the Bengals and the trajectory of
They're
these
not gonna
two
be the
teams.
Bengals. They might beat the
Hold on,
Eagles.
no.
They
Let's
won't beat the Steelers,
dive deep into that.
and they won't
Why
beat the Commanders.
are they losing to the Bengals? Well, we'll take this one
Because
bite at a time.
I don't think Daniel Jones can win a shootout.
Malik Nabers is going to be back.
Yeah, I know, but they're not gonna do a shootout
We
like Lamar
just
Jackson
had a
did.
shootout. We just had a shootout, and we won it.
Dude,
And it was a dumber shootout.
23
It was a
points.
dumber
It was
shootout.
30. It was 23 offensive points and seven of the point. What? It was 30 points. They won, but they scored 30, right?
Our
Yeah. Either
defense just
way,
played the best game of its
dude,
career.
Joe Burrow put up 38 against the Ravens.
I don't feel worried about the things I was worried about 2 weeks ago.
Oh
Like
my
Deonte
gosh.
Banks just held DK Metcalf to how many yards?
Listen,
Do you know? Take a guess how many yards
no,
DK Metcalf had against Deonte Banks.
45.
22. 22 yards.
Okay.
That's huge.
Counterpoint. Jamar Chase is better than DK Metcalf. T. Higgins also pretty.
Debatably, debatably,
That's a crazy take, but I'm
debatably.
gonna just go over that because that's insane for you to think that Jamar Chase and DK Metcalf are anywhere in the same category. Second of all, this is my whole point of delusion by Giants and Yankees fans. The same way that you thought Carlos Rodon was gonna shove yesterday. Sorry, I know this is football, but hear me out. I mean, come on. And you know what happened? They lost in
It's.
the and you know what? It's going to be really upsetting because you know what? I know the Astros are out, but you know what? He's going to be real upset when the Yankees lose this series to the Royals. Delusion
Do you
everywhere.
guys hear the insecurity in his voice? Because
Delusion.
he felt the need to bring up the Astros getting swept before I could. Just want to let you know, it's a little baseball insecurity. We're surrounded by Astros stuff right now, and he was waiting for someone to bring up how they got swept by the
All
team
I'm
of
saying
destiny.
is delusion.
Yeah.
Delusion. And because the Giants are playing the Bengals next week, let's just talk about them too.
Yeah.
Because Joe Burrow, it's funny because I know a couple years ago when they thought about drafting
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase or it was Rashawn Slater, they're
Yeah.
like, all right, do we just surround him with weapons and say, screw it, we're going to
Yeah.
score 40 points and have no one blocking, no defense? And that's literally what has now happened. Joe Burrow, listen to this. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns with 12. He has the best passer rating in the NFL. He's second in completion percentage. He's thrown the third fewest interceptions with two. He's got almost 1,400 passing yards, sixth in the league. I mean, if anyone's on the hot seat, why aren't we talking about Zach Taylor?
Yeah, I think we're all just kind of like holding our breath and staring at the Bengals and being like, all right, like do the thing, like poking the
Fig
dead body with a stick.
figure it
Yeah,
out, figure it
like
out, figure it
it's
out. Yeah.
so I have no reason to not believe in Joe Burrow. No one really should,
And that's what I'm saying
but
because think about it. He's playing his butt off. He's single-handedly carrying this team, and coaching mistakes was a big one against the Ravens. I mean, dude, they force a turnover on Lamar Jackson to fumble the football. They get the ball in, I'm going to say Evan McPherson range, but this is like 50 plus yards still.
yeah.
And they ran the ball three times and then try to kick the game-winning field goal, knowing if they missed, the Ravens had the ball at midfield with Justin Tucker. And in my head, I'm like, Joe Burrow has thrown how many touchdown passes? How many? Oh, Ja'Marr Chase has almost 200 receiving yards. Why weren't they just going to let him cook? Just go get a first down and kick a 30-yard chip shot ball game.
That's my deal.
And then you know what happens? They botch the snap. He misses the field goal. What happens? Ravens get the ball. One Derrick Henry run. Ball game. And if they're not 1-4 and 2-3 facing the Giants at 2-3, I don't think we're sitting here saying, oh yeah, the Giants got this one. No, the Bengals are now getting hot. This team is good. They're good
No,
on offense.
no,
On offense,
no,
they're
they're
good.
not good.
On offense, they're
They're
good.
fully
Defensively, they're not.
not a good team. That's my like they're fully they lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Patriots. Like, they have single-handedly been nothing but disappointing this entire year. I understand what you're saying. I actually was shocked. I just pulled this up. They are currently 22nd in the league in least amount of sacks allowed, meaning they are like bottom third. I thought they were still bad on the offensive line. I thought Joe Burrow was still getting blown up. That's not the case.
Their defense is just really
Their
bad.
defense is horrendous. And that's, listen,
Well, they
I'm
still,
gonna,
I think they got Eli. Is Eli Apple still there?
While you went on your frankly delusional rant about the baseball, I wanted to explain why they're not going to beat the Giants. Because this is more about the Bengals than it is about the Giants.
Okay.
Obviously, Joe Burrow, I will never not think of him as maybe at least a top five QB. At least.
I mean, right now.
Yes, no,
He's
you
top.
can't.
I think he can't. You can't say he's not playing like a. I honestly top three.
I just think it's insane how we can live in a world where they're Matt Staffordizing the Bengals. They're turning them into the Lions.
Yeah,
That should terrify us.
even the Cowboys with
Even
Tony
the
Romo.
Cowboys.
With Tony
Even the
Romo,
Cowboys.
yeah.
And the Giants defense. That's why I led with them. As much as you're saying, like, it can't be a shootout, there's going to be a couple times where either we get home against them. Or we hold them to a couple more three and outs than people are expecting.
Stop him in the red zone a little
And
bit.
this defense can't stop a nosebleed. This defense couldn't stop Jacoby Brissett. You said it yourself. Could you imagine Tyrone Tracy running through them? Malik Nabers is back. We're in MetLife Stadium for the first time. Do you know what's going to happen when Malik Nabers goes up against Eli Apple? In East Rutherford, New Jersey? I'm sorry, we got Vietnamese coffee before this, and we're a little excited. And I'm telling you, can you see the vision? 41-38. This over is gonna hit like nothing.
Listen, I think this is some delusion. I think the Bengals are in must-win mode, and the Giants, of course, would come off of beating Seattle
A
on
good
the
team.
road.
A good
Yeah, a
team.
good
A
team
good
on the
team.
road, and then losing to the Bengals at home. But we'll see. We'll see.
It seems like you're slowly turning around on this. I feel like you're seeing the vision and you want to say no, but your heart is like, it's making sense.
Because it's just Joe Burrow. He's just better than Daniel Jones.
Listen, I think Matt Stafford's great. Matt Stafford lost a lot of games in Detroit.
You know what? Fair point. Fair point.
On that depressing, I don't think any Bengals fans listen to this.
No, I don't think so
No.
either.
Do you know any Bengals fans? Played football with a guy who's a Bengals fan.
No, I don't think. I mean, that's such a like a niche
He
place
was from
to
New
be
Jersey
from.
too. He was from, which is
I feel
interesting.
like more
Yeah.
people would rather be are more Browns fans than
Yeah.
Bengals fans.
Yeah.
Even though like that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know people from Ohio. You know what? Paul Baginski now claims the he's, you don't know him, but he's a guy who used to claim the Rams and now he claims the Bengals because he lives in Ohio. Shout out, Paul. Anyway,
Let's
let's
talk
get
about
moving.
let's talk about the Bears. Caleb Williams, my glorious king, is back. In his last three games, 70 of 104, 824 yards, 5 touchdowns, 104.5 passer rating. He now has more 300-yard passing games than Justin Fields. And this is another cool little stat. On dropbacks over 2.5 seconds, he went 12 of 16 for 206 yards and 2 touchdowns this past weekend against the Panthers. He looked great. He looked like the guy I expected coming out of USC. That was a Heisman Trophy winner. That was a first overall pick performance. And damn it, the Bears are back.
I'm gonna before I, because I can't even disagree with any of that, but like, what do you think was the explanation behind like the 93-yard game? Like, is he just nervous? Does he just not? Do you think he just thought he could walk in there and do it? Like,
I think he needed a little bit of a humbling experience, and I think he needed that little wake-up call. And I think he focused up, locked in, understood what it meant to be a pro very quickly, because he does expect success out of him wherever he goes. Like, I think there's like a character trait you can talk about Caleb Williams. He's
Yeah.
like, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna be great at it. I don't care. And I think after he got pushed around, he saw Jaden Daniels balling out. He didn't like that. I don't think he liked that. And I think they found a way to figure it out. They had that heart-to-heart with the offensive coordinator, like, let it rip. And they let it rip. And they looked really good the last 2 weeks. And now this is where it gets fun. They play the Jags this week. I think they beat the Jags.
Everyone beats the Jags.
The Commanders is going to be, I think, a great game because
Yeah.
it's Caleb versus Jaden Daniels. Then they play the Cardinals and the Pats. I think they win 3 of those 4 games in some order. Between the Jags, Commanders, Cardinals, Pats. I think they either lose to the Commanders or the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, really, worst case scenario, that's 2-2. Worst case
And there's
scenario,
nothing
that's
wrong with
two and
them
two.
being 5-4.
Nothing. Totally. Yeah, I mean, like,
Considering the way the NFC is right now, everyone's in it. Everyone's in the NFC right now.
and who knows? Like, eventually, teams are probably going to start figuring out the Commanders a little bit. Like,
I think so.
they did just kind of catch people by surprise. Like, kind of what I was explaining last week about how Cliff Kingsbury is kind of like moving around their weaker options. Eventually, teams are going to have to figure that stuff out and just make them better at screens or whatever. But, you know, yeah, like, that's way easier considering that's by far the best team, like, on that list. Like, the Jags are awful. The Pats look terrible. The Cardinals are, you know, they got some hope, but goodness, you know, they're not performing like they need to be.
Yeah, that's
And
a good point. That's a good point.
yeah, no, I think 2-2 realistically, like, is the worst that could be. Worst
Well,
that could be.
now it's my turn.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it, or do you want me to say it?
You know I'm not gonna say it.
How about them Cowboys? How about them, Jack? For once in my lifetime, truthfully, for once in my lifetime, I saw us win a game like that, where we beat ourselves and we shot ourselves in the foot. And we did everything in our power to lose that game. On the road, Pittsburgh, Sunday night prime time. Everyone, their mom is staying up an hour late than normal because you know what? We're all watching football. What are we doing not watching Cowboys Steelers? Dak Prescott threw 2 picks. He fumbled. Did he throw two? Yeah, he threw 2 picks, fumbled. But it doesn't matter because when he got the ball back to win the game, he did it. He went down the field with a makeshift offensive line, no running game. CeeDee Lamb was his only weapon. Jalen Tolbert's his wide receiver too. And he did it. He went down the field and won the game on fourth down. The way that that game transpired is Hunter Lepke is getting valuable touches in the final 2 minutes of a game. The dude was a fullback at North Dakota State. I don't even think I think we either drafted him in the 7th round or he was just a
Yeah.
free agent guy we signed. And he's on the roster and he set up first and goal at the 1 yard line on a screen, a running back screen to a fullback. And even crazier, I showed you this, the play, I forget the linebacker's name, jumping over and knocking the ball out of Dowdle's hands on, was it third and goal or second and goal? Man, 9 times out of 10, that's Steelers ball and the Cowboys lose in the most dramatic fashion ever. And I go, of course they lose. But no, Dak Prescott made the game-winning play. Jalen Tolbert, a guy who had all these expectations when we drafted him out of South Alabama, hasn't lived up to it. He cost us a couple of games over the past few years, stepped up and made the game-winning touchdown. It's something I've never seen, Jack. I've never seen that happen. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like the meme, like, oh my gosh, they're gonna make me believe again. It hurts, but damn it, what a win.
Here's what we're gonna do. Here's what neither of us are gonna do. I'm not gonna believe in Daniel Jones yet, and you're not gonna believe in the Cowboys yet. We need to see more. We can't be tricked by the, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll change. We can't be tricked by that. Because I'm gonna pull, I'm not gonna, I can't look at your happiness and do something insane like go on an insane rant about baseball to explain why you're actually wrong. Because you should be happy. You won a good game against a successful team. You should be happy. But what I am gonna say is that what we need to realize is that the Dallas Cowboys have never had a problem with winning in the regular season. And with the expectations that every year are placed within you guys of having CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, a coach who has won a Super Bowl, as much as people hate him, that talking point has been used. I think this is still the worst Cowboys team I've seen in a
Can I
minute.
ask you a question though?
Sure.
We play the Lions this week
Lose.
if we win. If the Cowboys beat the Lions this weekend, how does that change? And I just
I
want to,
promised to answer your question, but can I answer it with another question?
sure.
Who has a better chance of winning, the Giants against the Bengals or the Cowboys against the Lions?
It probably, in my opinion, I think it still would be the Giants or the Bengals, and that's me being truthful. But realistically, I'm just saying, if the Cowboys beat the Lions,
In a
that's the whole,
normal game,
in a
in like a
normal game,
normal game, then yeah, that'd be pretty interesting.
we beat them last
But
year.
I'll
But I don't,
also
I the only reason why I don't like us because we beat them last year the way we did.
but I'll also comfortably say that like you were supposed to be the team that dominates the regular season. You beat the Giants twice, you beat the Commanders twice, you split it against the Eagles, you win all these crazy like primetime games because you're the Cowboys.
That's a good point.
But from what I'm seeing, like, I don't know. The future seems murky. We were talking about I like to do the O-line stuff. I don't know how many people care about this, but I think it's interesting how you played a lot better when Tyler Guyton was out. You move Tyler Swift back. You put, who was it to guard? What was his name?
Tyler Bass.
Tyler Bass. And goodness gracious, you look like a much normal team. Tyler Smith is a fantastic player.
Left
Great. I
tackle.
couldn't have been more wrong about him. I was totally wrong in his evaluation. I thought he'd be awful. And that, I think, kills the. First off, swinging and missing on a franchise left tackle is big. I can
Yeah.
tell you. We've seen it a lot in Giants land. And it hurts you and holds you back at least a year or two. Because any rookie, they need time to develop. And I'm not saying it's totally out on Tyler Guyton because a lot of people have these bad first years. Andrew Thomas did, for just first guy to come to my mind. But I'm telling you, like that harms a rookie's confidence.
You think
Because
so?
I think realistically they might be looking at the team and they're like, all right, if we're in win mode now, right now, Guyton, you're gonna like get some more mental reps. And I think that harms the team. And but I'll say this, I like a lot of the pieces you have on defense. Like I'm probably higher on the Cowboys defense now than you might be because like Overshown looks fantastic. I'm gonna butcher this name. I apologize. Omowarie.
I think so.
He's been making plays. He's
Also,
been
how
burnt
about
toast at
Linval? How about
times.
Linval Joseph? Forced the fumble.
It was very funny that we were talking about him and then that
Then
happened.
that happens. Yeah.
That's so
Us
crazy that he's in
unironically
there.
bringing up Linval Joseph for you to say this is why the Cowboys defense are bad is bad, and then 3 plays later he forces the
And I was
fumble. Yeah.
out. And I was out. Yeah.
So let's switch the subject a little bit.
Yeah.
Now address Pittsburgh. I mean, I believe Russell Wilson is going to be back next week. I mean, they said on the broadcast that he expects to be ready to go next week. Are they switching him? Are they pulling the
They
trigger?
have to.
You have
Justin
to.
Fields is a gimmick. I really, I mean, like You said it yourself. We didn't even need to bring up Justin Fields to bring up the stat, but how many yards over 300? How many games over 300 yards does he ever have?
That's a good point. I said about Caleb Williams. He has more than Justin Fields as a Bear, and he's played in five games.
And I'm pretty sure Justin Fields has only like five or six games over 250 in his career. And the man was drafted when like I had to go to college when I was in college and I had to wear a mask to go to the bathroom in my own apartment building. You know, like he's been around for a while. This ain't as much as people are like, oh, he's young. He's like 24 or whatever, or 25 or 23. I don't know how old Justin Fields is, but he's young. And people always throw that around like he's it's just like getting a rookie. And like, yes, it is theoretically. It's been a rookie that has taken like 3 or 4 years to get it right. And granted, like no one's saying the Steelers and the Bears are great options to develop a quarterback, but like
I think at one point he might have. I'm not gonna give up on him yet, just because we've seen this trend with guys getting like fourth chances and doing something, aka Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. So you never know. Same way I believe in Bryce Young. I'm not gonna really give up on Justin Fields because I'm like, dude, it's Arthur Smith. He sucks. Like, he never did anything good. The only time he was successful was when he had Derrick Henry and the best game manager of all time in that era, Ryan Tannehill. Like, think about it. And so in my head, I'm like, dude, he's not a good offensive play caller. They don't look any better than they did last year. And they're just carried by a great defense.
Steelers
So, but then
fans.
again, like, what is Russell Wilson really gonna do?
Nothing. And now it comes full circle where we could stop being like, oh, the Steelers. Like it's just gonna be what we thought they were. They'll probably win some games. Like I it's always difficult to bet against them. I mean, because they have to get the regular season wins every year to get Mike Tomlin's record, which I don't think is going away. Also, I'm gonna give a quick shout out. I don't know how many of us were familiar with his game or about him, but Nate Herbig, dude,
Oh, the guy from the Steelers.
no drip, wears 50, plays D line, looks a little like small, I'd say. He's a freak. He's a beast,
Yeah, he got
man.
hurt, but
I couldn't that defense like the fact that there's a right now someone playing better, two guys playing better than TJ Watt on that D line, and TJ Watt's still playing really good is nuts to me. Cameron Hayward's got more sacks than TJ Watt.
yeah, he's had almost like a resurgence at, what is he, 38, 36 years old, something like
My
that?
dad played against his dad in
That's
high school.
crazy.
Yeah, his dad was a 285-pound running back. And he went to Pittsburgh. He was Ironhead Hayward. Look him up. He only played a couple years in the league because he was just a fullback that just,
Ground and pound
ground
kind
and
of thing.
pounded people. But yeah.
Well, let's segue into our
No.
dude of the week. And I think this one's obviously a little college football action, but Diego Pavia. Jack, you were so high on him coming into the year. I was a fan of him, but I just didn't think he was going to do what he's done at Vanderbilt. Let's get real.
Yeah,
So
no, no one.
I want to share this real quick because I really got into some deep dive of Diego Pavia. I got some lore for you, and I think this is a cool little story.
Oh, yeah.
So he had no offers coming out of high school. He went to JUCO. I forget the name of
New
it.
Mexico Military
That's what it
Institute.
was. Yes. He wins the JUCO championship game. He gets an offer from New Mexico State, goes there, becomes the conference USA Player of the Year, and he's about to graduate, right? He's about to graduate. His head coach leaves and gets hired as Vandy's like head assistant to the head coach or offensive assistant, something like that, a real technical job, you know what I mean? And during this process, Vandy had seven quarterbacks. They fired their offensive coordinator. They were basically redoing everything. Their stadium was being rebuilt. I mean, think about it. There's a whole section of it missing still, which is nuts. And they have no quarterback. They lost their three best quarterbacks in the portal. They have no receivers. Their tight end, Eli Stowers, was a quarterback at A&M.
Really? That's
Yes. And he's
so
now
silly.
he balled out against Alabama this past weekend. And the point of what I'm saying is they got a
Oh,
bunch of.
give me 1 second, Tomas. Do you know this number from San Antonio, Texas, by chance?
Who's calling you from San Antonio, Texas?
I don't know. Do you recognize this? Is that an area? Maybe this is our first live caller.
No, I don't know who that is.
Are you
That's.
giving out my numbers to
No, I'm
friends,
not
telling them to
giving out
call in like
your.
the Dan Patrick Show?
No, I wish. Eventually we should do that. I think eventually we blow this thing up.
Yeah.
We're gonna get a little live stream action. I think that'd be cool. We'll get some callers in
For
here.
sure, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, before I was
What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I have a couple questions
No,
about
no,
this
no, no. Time
story
out. Time
because
out.
you're a Texas guy and I
Okay.
wanted to ask you about
What?
what is the football scene like? How familiar are you with the state of New Mexico and like how things go?
I
Like,
don't know. I told you New Mexico is like a weird place. It's just dirt and like dirt.
do you know anyone from there? Like,
No, just
no?
I've been to New Mexico. I mean, you can go like skiing there and stuff, but like realistically, there's nothing there. They have really bad Mexican food.
Really?
Yeah,
Really bad
it's
Mexican
so
food?
bad. It's different than like Tex-Mex or even Mexican food here or Mexico. It's just like not good.
Wow.
It tastes bad. There's the
Wow.
buildings are there's no like real buildings or infrastructure.
Oh.
Everything's like there's a lot of clay.
A lot of turquoise.
Yeah,
A
just a
lot of
lot of
turquoise.
just stuff, a lot of wooden places too. I mean, there's nothing crazy about it. Not very developed, or at least the places I've been. But yeah.
And now the savior of college football
Technically.
just came out of there.
Well, the point
That's
was,
nuts.
well, listen, let me finish the story.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out what are we gonna do? We don't have a quarterback, we don't have anyone coming to play. Like, how are we gonna convince guys to commit to this university when we don't have an offensive coordinator, when
Yeah.
we have nobody, right? And they end up getting I forget the guy's name, but the wide receiver that coming transferred from Utah and Diego Pavia's coach at New Mexico State says, "Hey guys, I got a quarterback for you. I got a quarterback for you." And so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I wanted before
Yep, yep, yep,
I'm gonna
yep.
preface to make the point is all this happens. They, you know, have some conversations with Pavia, and he goes, "Well, you're gonna graduate, are your grades good? All this stuff has to get done." And at this time, he got an offer from Nevada. He got an offer from Nevada.
Reno? Like Nevada
Yes,
Reno?
they know,
Yeah.
like University of Nevada, the
Okay.
Gold
Yeah.
Wolfpack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Vanderbilt goes, "Listen, we can't give you a scholarship, but you can walk on and come play here at Vanderbilt." And he sits there, and this is before, mind you, this is all going on outside of them telling the head coach. This is like Pavia's ex-coach, like their offensive coordinator, or wide receiver coach, or something. They're like talking to him, whatever. They get Pavia on the phone. I forget he's with talking to one of the coaches, and they're about to go pretty much sell
Yeah.
him on the head coach. And he gets on the phone. Pavia's like kind of basically sitting there, almost like, "Hey, like, you know what? Can you do this for me? Can you do me a favor, coach?" And the coach is like, "Yeah, what's up?" And he goes, "When you go talk to him, just tell him if he brings me onto this team, we're gonna beat effing everybody." He was like, "We're gonna beat everybody." And that he said that was the last thing he said, and he hung up the phone. And he was like, after that, he goes, "I told the coach that we brought him in, the rest is history." And it's crazy to think about how this guy at New Mexico State, look, New Mexico State in 2 seasons before Pavia was 3-11. He comes in, they're 17-11, and they won a bowl game against Bowling Green University.
They're the all-time worst Division I college football team since maybe Kent State. They're the all-time worst.
Vanderbilt before Pavia was 2-10. Now they're 3-2. Just beat number one Alabama. I mean, dude, he single-handedly destroyed Jalen Milroe's Heisman chance, in my opinion, by winning this game.
You know what competitive event is the most competitive at Vanderbilt last year? Because it wasn't their baseball team. I know that's probably what you'd be thinking. It's
No,
not. You know what it is? I said event specifically.
I'm not gonna. I don't know.
Acapella.
Okay, good. I was never gonna
He
guess that.
turned an acapella school. Granted, they got good baseball, but an acapella school into a team that just beat the GOAT of college football, Jalen Milroe. I put that in a little bit of quotes
After
for
they
that one.
just beat Georgia. After they
After
just
they
beat
just had the
Georgia.
craziest game against Georgia ever. This school doesn't care about football. This school doesn't care about football. The SEC keeps them in because it keeps their grades up. The administration doesn't care. The amount of like Division III coaches I've met in my life who have been like, yeah, we don't win because the administration, they just don't
Well, think
support
about it.
us.
They're 3-2. They're 3-2.
Yeah.
They're 3-2. They're going to play Kentucky. I think they beat Kentucky. They're 4-2.
I don't know. Kentucky's a little sneaky. I mean, I'm not going to touch that. I hope they win. I think they totally could.
Ball
I
State, I bet they beat Ball. They'd probably lose to Texas.
They'll lose to Texas.
They beat
I'll
Auburn.
beat Auburn.
They
Beat
beat
South
South Carolina. And
Carolina.
I bet they either
I
beat
bet they
LSU or
hang.
Tennessee. They beat LSU or
I
Tennessee.
don't think LSU is actually like that good at all. I think LSU is kind of like
Either way, there's a world where Vanderbilt wins like, I think, six. They can win like eight games, eight or nine games.
Yeah. Get a little sneaky little bowl game
That's kind of
against like
cool.
a good bowl. Like, could you imagine if it's some world where it's like, I don't know. like them against like some gritty high win like FCS team, not FCS, but like, you know what I mean, like Group of Five school, like,
Like a Boise State.
or like Army.
Ooh. There could be. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it just depends on how many games they win. I would love to see them play like a USC.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they might lose that and that, but I mean that'd be fun. It'd
Or
be
like a
fun
Penn
to
State would
just
be
like root
cool.
against them. Yeah, but okay, we got some stuff, don't we?
So we got some mailbag. We got some questions, Jack.
Yes.
So we're gonna hit the mailbag and then to book it to wrap this thing up. But talk to him, Jack.
Nick from Fitchburg, Massachusetts writes, "Dear Bad Takes in Boston Bros, after all the fun little information and fun little Instagram stories from Davante Adams this week, implying he may or may not, or possibly may, go to Baltimore, the chances of Lamar Jackson winning a Super Bowl have grown just a little bit. Do you think that if Lamar Jackson wins the Super Bowl, he will be in the top 10 quarterbacks of all time conversation? Tomas, I'll open it up with you."
I don't think so. I don't think so. Just because I'd have to see him win one more.
You'd have to see him win too.
And that's the only thing stopping. That's the only thing. Him winning one Super Bowl, I don't think changes anything. If Matthew Stafford's not in that, if I'm trying to think of guys who just won one Super Bowl, you know what I mean? They're, Ben Roethlisberger, those guys aren't top 10 just because they won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I know it's a little different because, you know, Lamar Jackson has the MVPs. He's the rushing attack, everything about him, but he hasn't done good in the playoffs. The same argument we have about the Dallas Cowboys is the same argument we can have for Lamar Jackson because he
Ooh,
hasn't won anything in the playoffs.
ooh!
He hasn't.
I gotta pump the brakes on that because I
He hasn't.
disagree on that.
He hasn't. I well, what's his postseason record?
Not good.
So what's the difference?
Well, I'll make a larger point and then I'll funnel it down to specifically that. I may, for this the sake of this argument, because I agree. I think he would be a top 10 quarterbacks in the world where Lamar Jackson is a Super Bowl winner. And I came up with, and this is in order, number one, Brady, two, Manning, Mahomes, then followed by Mahomes,
That's crazy.
Montana, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Lamar Jackson, Dan Marino, Eli Manning. What's my point with bringing that up? A lot of those guys had insane weapons at certain points in their careers. And if we look at Lamar, and you look at his numbers, and you look at how he is revitalized the running quarterback in the NFL when no one was doing that. And think about the fact that his top three receivers of all time are Mark Andrews, I guess Zay Flowers, and Rashad Bateman at three.
Isaiah Likely.
You see what I'm getting? Now look at these guys and think of the names associated with those
Well,
players.
that's okay, but all I'm saying is you're basing this off of him surrounding with talent. But let's get real. Dude, he's got to win a Super Bowl. I think this is, I understand that this is a real hypothetical, but him winning one Super Bowl does not automatically make him a top 10 quarterback of all time. What do you t all time?
I guess
All time is absurd for a guy who wins one Super Bowl and still would have a about 500 record in the playoffs. Also, too, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Like, what are we talking about?
I'll bring
Also,
you
won
to
a
it.
comeback player of the year. I mean, who cares? All I'm
Yeah, but
saying
he,
is
but
him
Lamar
winning.
has a better touchdown interception ratio of any of those guys we've mentioned in terms of Flacco, Roethlisberger, Favre. I consider putting Brett Favre on this list, but people don't realize how many picks those guys have thrown in their career, especially compared to what they added. Roethlisberger added nothing on the ground. Objectively, the guy who can run and throw is better than the guy who can just throw. I think that adds a totally new dimension to the game and makes a whole new things you can do with the offense. I think that Flacco is good. Are you going to sit here and say on the year October 8th, 2024, that Joe Flacco is elite and should be top 10?
Not of all time, no.
Because that's the argument. That's the argument. And that's why I didn't necessarily know this. But like when you list out the top 10 QBs, you're looking at some of them and the lists are like Bart Starr. And you looked at it and the guy had like, I don't know. This isn't a real stat, but
What
like
about Troy
83
Aikman?
touchdown.
And he won three Super Bowls. I mean, what are you basing this off
I
of?
don't think any of the old school quarterbacks would be that good in today's NFL.
You
I
don't
think
even
all
have
these
Steve. You
guys.
don't even have Steve Young on here.
Yeah, Steve Young threw for like only kind of like 40 something touchdowns his entire career.
I don't know. You even have Mahomes at three, which is crazy.
Whoa! I thought that would be something you'd be like, heck yeah, brother.
He's definitely got to be at two.
Oh
He's
no, no,
he's
he's
better than
not there yet. He's
he's
not
better
there
than
yet.
Peyton. He's better than Peyton Manning. He's the
Peyton
second.
Manning had the best passing
He's
touch season
man.
ever in his like second to last year.
Mahomes is the second best quarterback of all time right now.
His stats have only gone down. His
Dude,
stats have
because
only
he's
gone down.
throwing to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Peyton Manning didn't have a
His
like.
stats when he had Tyreek Hill were insane. The Chiefs are just so good at football and so good coached, so disciplined, and just an overall great football team that Mahomes will always win with whoever he has. And it doesn't matter if his numbers aren't there because what he does on the football field is better than anybody else. I don't forget the numbers for a
If
second.
Patrick Mahomes
Forget
puts
the numbers.
5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in the second to last game season of his career, I'll buy it.
He probably, dude.
He won't. He's not good anymore. He leads the league in picks.
He's gonna win more. How many have been off of dropped players? We watched one yesterday.
No one gave Daniel Jones that courtesy. And some of them were just ducks. Quite a few of those picks were just him throwing it out, being like, ah, he'll be down there. And his receivers, granted,
But
probably being bad.
what are you gonna do if he wins three straight Super Bowls, which has never been done? And at what if he does do that, he's gonna pass Brady and have the most Super Bowls of all time. Then he's the GOAT by default. Sorry.
No, he's never going to be better than Brady. He's never going to be better than Brady. He's never going to be better
That's
than Brady.
a horrible take. That is a ridiculous take.
He will
That is
never
such a
be better.
that's such a
He will
boomer
never
take.
be he will
You're
never be
such a
better than
boomer for
Brady.
that.
He will
That's
never
a
be better.
small-minded take, I think. That's a crazy
I am
take.
older and wiser than you.
No, you're not.
I what year were you born?
2000.
What time?
November
What day?
30th.
I'm older than you by a week. Older and wiser. Listen, Brady did it with Edelman, Amendola, and Wes Welker, and he did it with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and one of the greatest defensive coordinators potentially of all time. Obviously, Belichick's up there, but realistically, like the way the Patriots won was scrap, determination, and hard work, and Brady taking pay cuts, and that will never be the, especially sitting where you're sitting right now. I'd hope you'd have the respect to look around and say that. The amount of people who are walking around with their Patriots gear when this franchise was nearly sold, this franchise was nearly moved out of this region, and all of New England didn't have a football team before Robert Kraft bought them, got Drew Bledsoe, they had a little bit of success, and then Tom Brady turned them into a franchise where you see kids right now all over the world wearing Patriots gear. Like, Mahomes is good. Yes. He's third best. Won Super Bowl this year. Probably pop gets over Manning. Assuming his like stats aren't like he's getting like he's just a game manager because Manning wasn't a game manager, he was a game winner. I think
Except
that,
for he lost to Drew Brees
well,
in the bowl.
Drew Brees, I got right behind Joe Montana, which maybe that is my biggest boomer take about Joe Montana, but like 5-5-0 is pretty unstoppable. Frankly, there are some people who are going to want him higher than Mahomes even. But yeah, I think Lamar's got to be up there. I think when you change the game
The way he did.
the way he did, because realistically, greatest defensive player of all time, arguably. Greatest pure athlete of all time in the NFL sphere, Lawrence Taylor, changed the game. Before he came into the league, left tackles were paid like middle of the road guys, and now they're being paid, given millions and millions of dollars. Lamar did the same thing.
Okay.
He made the middle linebacker position change from big, heavy dudes with numbers in the 50s to fast guys who could be playing, like, if they lost a couple pounds, play safety. You know, like, it's changed completely. And if you win Super Bowl, you got to hand to him. Especially with that Rashod Bateman understanding, because heck, how many Super Bowls would Drew Brees win with Rashod Bateman and Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews being his top dudes?
That's a good point. No, I understand what you're saying. I think we got to see some more. But I think if he wins this, if he won two Super Bowls, he's top 10. That's my final take on it. It's funny talking about the Ravens, but to close this thing out, my book it for the week is actually Zay Flowers over receiving yards
Ooh.
at home against the Commanders. They have arguably one of the worst secondaries in the league. We just saw, okay, the Browns didn't really carve him up, but Amari Cooper had like 70 yards receiving, and
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson can't throw the football. So I was like, okay, that's kind of impressive.
Amari Cooper's still good.
Yeah, and teams have torched them. Teams have torched the Commanders. I think it's a good spot for Zay. I expect him to explode. I think this is going to be a shootout. I really do think the Commanders might keep it interesting, but give me the Ravens. You know what I mean? I think they, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson have some similar qualities, but let's get real. Daniels is the rookie. This is a bigger game for the Commanders. The Ravens are at home. Come on. Zay Flowers is going to go off for that weak secondary. Give me the Ravens in this game too. Book it.
I like that. I like that analysis. My book, it was previously said, Giants winning Sunday Night Football. You can go back and watch it. I think we're hot right now. I don't think we're good. I think we're hot. I think that's the difference.
I think this might have been one of our, I would say, longer episodes, but I think we got a lot covered. Some great analysis, Jack. I always enjoy talking ball with you, brother.
Tomas, it's always been a pleasure. We just shook hands. You couldn't hear that, but because we're podcasting, but we just shook hands. It was beautiful.
Again, we're a podcast for the people, by the people. We're Bad Takes in Boston, and we'll be back with more next week.